भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer his respectful obeisance under the personality of Godhead Narayan, under Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, our translator, commentator, and dearmost spiritual master. Nasta Praishubhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. For regular attendance in classes in Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And thus, transcendental loving service under the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Continuing with Srimad Bhagavatam, and we're on Canto 9, Chapter 10, text number 16. Right? Badva Udadao Ragu Patir Vividhari, excuse me, Vividhadri Kutai Setum Kapindra Kara Kampita Buruhangai Buruhangai Sugriva Nila Hanumat Pramukhair Anikair Lankam Vibhishana Drishavishad Drishavishad Agra Dagdham. Huh? Badvo dadau ragupatir vividadrikutai. Badvo dadau ragupatir vividadrikutai. Setum kapindra karakam pitaburu hangai. Setum kapindra karakam pitaburu hangai. Sugriva nila hanumat pramukhair anikhair. Lankam vibhishana drisha visharagra dagdham. Lankam vibhishana drisha visharagra dagdham. Badvo dadau ragupatir vividadrikutai. Setum kapindra karakam pitaburu hangai. Sugriva nila hanumat purmukhair anikhair. Lankam vibhishana drisha visharagra dagdham. Badvo dadau ragupatir vividhari kuthai. Setum kapindra karakam pitaburu hangai. Sugriva nila hanumat pramukhaira nikair. Lankam vibhishan adrisha visharagra dagdam. Vadvoda daura gupatir vividadrikutai. Setum kapindra karakam pitaburu hangai. Sugriva nila hanuma pramukaranikai. Lankam vibhishan risha visharagra dagdam. Vadvoda daura gupatir vividadrikutai. Setum kapindra karakam pitaburu hangai. Sugriva nila hanumat pramukhaira nikai. Lankam vibhishana rishadagra dagdam. Padvoda daura gupatir vividadri kutai. Setum kapindra karakam pitaburu hangai. Sugriva nila hanuma pramukhaira nikai. Kam vibhishana disha visharagra dagda. Matajis? Any Matajis like to chant? Word for word. Badva, after constructing. Udadao, in the water of the ocean. Raghupati, Lord Ramachandra. Vividha, varieties of. Adrikutai, with peaks of great mountains. Setum, a bridge. Kapiendra, of powerful monkeys. Karakampita, moved by the great hands. Buruha, Angai, with the trees and plants. Sugriva, Nila, Hanumat, Hanuman, Pramukhai, led by, Anikai, with such soldiers. Lankam, Lanka, the kingdom of Ravana. Vibhishana Drisha, by the direction of Vibhishana, the brother of Ravana. Avishat, entered. Agradagdham, which was previously burnt by the monkey soldier Hanuman. Translation. Shukadeva Goswami said, after constructing a bridge over the ocean by throwing into the water the peaks of mountains whose trees and other vegetation had been shaken by the hands of great monkeys, Lord Ramachandra went to Lanka to release Sita Devi from the clutches of Ravana. With the direction and help of Vibhishana, Ravana's brother, the Lord, along with the monkey soldiers, headed by Sugriva, Nila, and Hanuman, entered Ravana's kingdom, Lanka, which had previously been burnt by Hanuman. Please repeat. Shukadeva Goswami said, after constructing a bridge over the ocean by throwing into the water the peaks of mountains whose trees and other vegetation had been shaken by the hands of great monkeys. Lord Ramachandra went to Lanka to release Sita Devi from the clutches of Ravana. With the direction and help of Vibhishana, Ravana's brother, the Lord, along with the monkey soldiers, headed by Sugriva, Nila, and Hanuman, entered Ravana's kingdom, Lanka, which had previously been burnt by Hanuman. Purport by Zwaingray Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Great mountain peaks covered with trees and plants were thrown into the sea by the monkey soldiers and began to float by the supreme will of the Lord. By the supreme will of the Lord, many great planets float weightlessly in space like swabs of cotton. If this is possible, why should great mountain peaks not be able to float on water? This is the omnipotence or omnipotence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can do anything and everything he likes because he is not under the control of the material nature. Indeed, material nature is controlled by him. Maya jakshena prakriti suyate sa characharam. Only under his direction does prakriti or material nature work. Similar information is given in the Brahma Samhita 5:52. Yasya ghyaya brahmati sambrita kala chakro govinda mari purusham tamaham bhajami. Describing how material nature works, the Brahma Samhita says that the sun moves as desired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, for Lord Ramachandra to construct a bridge over the Indian Ocean with the help of monkey soldiers who threw great mountain peaks into the water is not at all wonderful. It is wonderful only in the sense that it has kept the name and fame of Lord Ramachandra eternally celebrated. Translation again. Srila Sukadeva Goswami, after constructing a bridge over the ocean by throwing into the water peaks of mountains whose trees and other vegetation had been shaken by the hands of great monkeys, Lord Ramachandra went to Lanka to release Sita Devi from the clutches of Ravana. With the direction and help of Vibhishan, Ravana's brother, the Lord, along with the monkey soldiers headed by Sugriva, Nila, and Hanuman, entered Ravana's kingdom, Lanka, which had previously been burnt by Hanuman. Om Agyana Tamanandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dharati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purishana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dena Bando Jagapate Kupesha Kupika Kanta Radha Kanta Namushtute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapaturubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Puditanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Nama Om Vishnu Vadaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paskitya Deshatarine. I was born in the darkest of ignorance, but my eternal spiritual master, His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, has forced my eyes open with the torchlight of knowledge. Therefore, I offer my most humble obeisances under His lotus feet. How could I ever forget His mercy upon me? So before I start, I'd like to thank all the devotees, and of course especially Savas Prabhu and his entourage for such a wonderful array of festivals over the last few days. Certainly the most important festival days for devotees all over the world, the appearance day of Lord Krishna, Sri Krishna Janmashtami, and then yesterday, appearance of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who is the Diksha Guru of many devotees here, but is the Shiksha Guru, as mentioned previously by Sura and other devotees in class. He is the Shiksha Guru of the entire movement, and we understand he will remain as so for the next 10,000 years. These festivals are so wonderful, and just myself, and I know all the devotees share this experience, that when we celebrate the Lord on His appearance day, He becomes especially favorable towards us. Just like actually it was Vaisheshika Prabhu was giving a class one time and talking about how, you know, our birthday, just like we celebrate, you know, in this world, and we become so pleased when, you know, so many of our friends come to our birthday and they offer us different presents. And, you know, on that day especially, we glorify Krishna. And because Krishna is a person, therefore, when we talk about Krishna, and actually anything in relation with Krishna, but specifically His name, it's just like, similarly in a mundane sense, when anyone says your name or offers you some present or goes out of his way to do something for you, naturally you become beholding to that person. Naturally your heart is warmed and feels pleasure and in that relationship with that person who's your friend. So similarly, we're all part and parcel of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And even though we've forgotten Him since time immemorial, this whole material world, according to Srila Prabhupada, is created as a chance for all of us to go back home, back to Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada states that actually this happens even when one is living within this world, when one takes up the process of Krishna consciousness. And Krishna becomes present when we chant His name. So if this can be experienced in a mundane sense, how much more it's experienced in a spiritual sense, how Krishna is so pleased when we chant His name, when we engage in His service. And immediately, actually, He's there, according to the degree of our sincerity. He's there with all His unlimited opulences to service like that. And so these days are especially really, really powerful. And I always feel after these days, of course, you never want the festival to end. It's like it's never enough time to glorify Krishna. And the more we glorify Krishna and His pure devotee, the more we want to keep doing it more and more and more. So My meditation is in the day after these most auspicious days is praying to Krishna that please help me carry this spirit of devotion and the wonderful feelings I've got from the wonderful, reciting all these wonderful pastimes of Srila Prabhupada and hearing so many pastimes of Krishna, let that continue on and let that be kind of a place where we can, come off from into the subsequent days and weeks and months and years and try to increase our quality and quantity of hearing and chanting more and more. So I apologize because Bhrigupati Prabhu very kindly asked me to give class today, but it was only a couple hours ago, so I had literally no time to prepare. In the previous verses up to this, it was talking, this is a really wonderful part of Lord Ramachandra's pastimes too. We always, as devotees, we always get very excited when we hear the Lord is, executing his pastimes and is about to exhibit his uncommon abilities and things that are mundane in comparison to similar things. When the Lord exhibits qualities, for example, like his anger, it's a completely transcendental thing, and the whole pastime of Lord Ramachandra calling up the ocean who would not come, and then getting very angry and burning the water, and then the personified ocean coming up. Such nice prayers that the ocean personified was offering to Krishna. And I just want to read, if I may, that translation. Personified ocean says, "O all-pervading Supreme Person, we are dull-minded and did not understand who you are. But now we understand that you are the Supreme Person, the master of the entire universe, the unchanging and original personality of Godhead. The demigods are infatuated with the mode of goodness, the Prajapatis with the mode of passion, and the Lord of ghosts with the mode of ignorance. But you are the master of all these qualities." And I thought we'd really, it's a very short purport. I'd like to read that also. This verse in purport, when I heard it, I felt it was, I got some really nice realizations from it. And it was just the previous verse, so I wanted to read that also. Purport. Srila Prabhupada says, the word jadadiya refers to intelligence like that of an animal. A person with such intelligence cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Without being beaten, an animal cannot understand the purpose of a man. Similarly, those who are dull-minded cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when punished severely by the modes of material nature, they begin to understand him. A Hindi poet has said that when one is distressed, he goes to the church or temple to worship the Lord. But when opulent, he forgets the Lord. Therefore, punishment by the Lord through material nature is necessary in human society. For without it, men forget the supremacy of the Lord due to their dull, blunt intelligence. And today we're reading in the purport how Srila Prabhupada says that even these incredible activities that for us are very wonderful, the monkeys chopping off the tops of mountains and throwing them in the water and Lord Ramachandra floating them, he says, is not at all wonderful, because Krishna is floating all the planets in the air by his inconceivable potency. Srila Prabhupada says that in the Bhagavatam, he writes that devotees should be like research scientists. And he said devotees never have free time because they're always researching the absolute truth. And although so many descriptions of Krishna are given in the Bhagavatam and in the Bhagavad Gita and so many different Vedic literatures, the devotees never tire of hearing these over and over and over again. So Prabhupada mentions in this verse how Krishna is controlling the material nature. And he gives the verse in Bhagavad Gita here. Which is 9:10. Maya jakshena prakriti suite sacharacharam hetunane nikunteya jagad vipar ivartate. Krishna says, this material nature, which is one of my energies, is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, producing all moving and non-moving beings. Under its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Srila Prabhupada's purport. It is clearly stated here that the Supreme Lord, although aloof from all activities of the material world, remains a supreme director. The Supreme Lord is the supreme will and the background of this material manifestation, but the management is being conducted by material nature. Krishna also states in Bhagavad Gita that of all of the living entities in different forms and species, that I am the Father. The Father gives seeds in the womb of the mother for the child, and similarly the Supreme Lord, by his mere glance, injects all the living entities into the womb of material nature, and they come out in their different forms and species according to their last desires and activities. All these living entities, although born under different bodies according to their past deeds and desires, all these living entities, although born under the glance of the Supreme Lord, take different bodies according to their past deeds and desires. So it's kind of significant also where it's talking about Lord Ramachandra glancing over the ocean, and the ocean, the power of that glance is the same power that the Lord gives at the time of creation, and impregnates all the living entities within material nature. And as he glances, also it activates, the material nature is activated. Krishna simply glances over material nature. Material nature is thus activated and everything is created immediately. Because he glances over material nature, there is undoubtedly activity on the part of the Supreme Lord, but he has nothing to do with the manifestation of the material world directly. This example is given in the Smriti. When there is a fragrant flower before someone, the fragrance is touched by the smelling power of the person. Yet the smelling and the flower are detached from one another. There is a similar connection between the material world and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, he has nothing to do with this material world, but he creates by his glance and ordains. In summary, material nature, without the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, cannot do anything. Yet the Supreme Personality of Godhead is detached from all material activities. It states also in Bhagavad Gita that the bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities which in actuality are carried out by material nature. So this is our diseased condition in the material world. We have so many defects. We are so limited in so many ways. Our senses are imperfect. And even still, we feel ourselves so embarrassed by material nature that still we try to concoct so many things. We have this cheating propensity. We make mistakes. We have a cheating propensity. And our senses are imperfect. So we can't understand really anything about the Supreme Absolute Truth without that Absolute Truth actually revealing itself to us. Atashi Krishna Madhi Nabhaved Graham Indriya Seva Muke Hijiva Do Swayameva Sparatyuda. This is what, this for me is one of the most important verses, because it helps constantly remind me that I can't really understand anything through my material senses. And yet the false ego is so subtle, and the desire to lord it over material nature is so strong that I'm constantly trying to understand and identify Krishna through the material energy. This is, in one sense, natural, because we have this material body, we have these material senses, and we're always trying to understand things through our material senses. But once we come to the process of Krishna consciousness, we realize how limited our senses actually are. There was a video that Bhrigupati had found, a short video, which is kind of a scientific video of scientific research into the bridge going to Lanka. And they have all these detailed things that they put together, where they, you know, analyze that according to, you know, certain shastras or things, that there was, you know, a bridge that was actually constructed, you can see the remnants of it by satellite photography. And although it was a little bit interesting in some ways, I chose not to actually show it, because actually I found a verse early on in this chapter where in the purport, Prabhupada talked about how there's so many different opinions about Lord Ramachandra, and there's so many different scholars and things that are trying to, you know, like, make things a certain way. And although they were talking about, you know, that there was a bridge, the description they were giving didn't exactly corroborate with Srimad Bhagavatam, and so I thought we'd just kind of leave it. It was just a short 7-minute video. Here it's talking about, there it was talking about like detailed construction of rocks, and then so many logs being put on top of the rocks and like that. And, you know, there's Bhagavatam's talking about monkeys throwing huge mountain peaks into the water and floating them. And of course that was millions of years ago. So many things, you know, may have happened, transpired in between, but I thought we'd just stick with the version of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this process of acquiring knowledge through our senses is so limiting, and most of the time we don't even realize how limited it is. You know, the tendency, it says that you give a man an inch and he'll take a foot. Give him a foot, he'll take a yard. Give him a yard and he'll try to build a swimming pool on it. And so, you know, we have the strong tendency, no matter what stage we are in life, to still understand things and perceive things through our gross senses. And even, you know, after being a devotee for so many years, I find such a strong tendency myself to still do that. And even in psychology, they talk about this. It's called projection, that, you know, one has a tendency to simply project what's in one's consciousness over to, you know, what one is observing. And this is also part of the argument, philosophical argument one can debate with scientific method, is that anyone who's conducting a scientific method, he's still observing, and there's certain assumptions that he's projecting into the experiment as well. So it's actually a very subtle thing, but as devotees, it's a very important thing to understand. And one of the common threads that I always find that seems very, very important to me is that in the process of executing our Krishna consciousness, one of the most, or maybe you could say the most essential thing in it, at whatever stage we're at, is understand actually where we are in our devotional career. And that's something that's very, very difficult to do. In fact, it is most difficult to do if we're outside the Association of Devotees. A lot of times the Association of Devotees, it's incredibly beneficial and so essential, but a lot of times, speaking for myself, I don't even really realize how important it is, and I don't really appreciate it until I start spending time outside the Association of the Devotees. And then I realize actually how important it is, and I start appreciating the devotional service of even just a new devotee in Krishna consciousness. I mean, our process of Krishna consciousness is an inconceivable process. And as we go through that process, we experience firsthand the inconceivable potency of the Lord. Because for us to make spiritual advancement, and it's something that is really inconceivable. One of the first things that happens when we chant is explained very nicely in those nutshell verses in the second chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. And Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayuji Janayat Yasra Vairagyam Jnanam Chayara Haitukam. When one performs devotional service to Krishna, then immediately one acquires knowledge and detachment from the world. These are the first things that one develops. Automatically, one starts feeling detachment, and a sense of happiness from that comes up. And just like when I'm, generally when I'm preaching on book distribution, one of the first things I tell people that is that, you get this sense that you're not part of this world. You know, like Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, why is this process considered the perfection of religion? Because it can be directly perceived. Prabhupada called this process many different times as a scientific process. And of course, when Sarup Damodar Maharaj was here, Prabhupada spent so much time with him and had so much hope in this scientific preaching. And of course, that is exhibited now in this, you know, incredible monolith of this temple of understanding that's being built in Mayapur, and it's going to give an example of how the universe is structured according to Srimad Bhagavatam. And so these process of understanding something through our senses is, I've just been thinking about that a lot in the last couple of days, and you know, reflecting on how important it is to understand our level of advancement in Krishna consciousness. As we know, there's a neophyte devotee, Kanishtha Adhikari, there's a Madhyama Adhikari, and there's Uttama Adhikari. And there's symptoms for each one. And according to the symptoms of each one, therefore we deal, and we associate with devotees. Well, one of the most dangerous things in our development of Krishna consciousness is to mistake where we are. Krishna explains also that He says, the Acharya is my very self. He says, no one should disrespect the Acharya. No one should envy the Acharya or think that he's an ordinary man. He said, because Acharya, I consider to be my very self. And he is the sum total, considered the sum total of all the demigods. Just like we chant in the morning, Sakchad Hari, Tvina Samasta Shastra, Uktastata Bhavyata Eva Sadbi. Kintu Pravor, Priya Eva Tasya, Vande Guroshri, Charanada Vindam. The supreme, the spiritual master is considered to be as good as the Lord. The worship of the spiritual master, Krishna accepts our devotional service through the spiritual master until we come to the platform that we're able to offer service directly to Krishna. Therefore, the spiritual master is accepting our service on behalf of Krishna. And it's explained also, I was reading, someone sent me some quotes, and during the pastime of King Prithu, there are some nice verses in there, and in those verses, King Prithu talks about how all these different demigods are offering prayers, describing transcendental activities that he hadn't yet performed. And King Prithu explains that, he says, please don't offer me these prayers and this glorification for things I haven't yet performed. Because, and then Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that if one actually offers prayers to someone, thinking that eventually that person will have those qualities, it's actually an insult instead of praise like that. And he was saying that how Prithu Maharaj, although he was a Shaktivesh avatar, he was extremely humble like that. And all our Vaishnavacharyas are always humble. This is the one of the most important qualities of us, and we know that because in Shashastika prayers, Lord Chaitanya says, Trinadapi Sanichena, Tororapi Sihishnuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sarahari, that one should wear this verse as a necklace around one's neck and always remember this, because in that mood, then we can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. But what happens is the false ego is still always trying to project different conceptions of who we are. And because of our conditioned nature, we are always falling under the purview of these perverted conceptions of life. And therefore, it's recommended, because the process in this age, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kaloino Steva, No Steva, No Steva, Gatiranyata, is to always be chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord and recounting all the different pastimes of the Lord. And by doing this, just as we've experienced over the last few days, we our consciousness becomes very saturated, and we become very happy, and devotional service becomes easier and easier. I didn't realize how fast time was going. We're like already out of time. If anyone has any quick questions, otherwise we'll end class here. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam, all glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. So long, and it went so fast.